both its hardware programs and its manpower programs have been growing significantly faster than the growing defense budget has been growing. In other words, what that means in hardware is that as we spend more money on hardware, the inventory shrinks and it gets, on average, older. It's the counterintuitive problem of more money is buying us a older, smaller force. Similarly, manpower costs, while manpower has been growing, the cost to sustain our manpower has been growing far, far faster than the defense budget itself. And over the long term, that kind of spending plan is unsustainable.
And so you've come up with a couple of five steps that the Pentagon can make to move to a more sustainable plan. And let's talk a couple of, is this hard to do? Is this possible to do?
It's certainly possible to do. We've done it in the past, not in recent history, but we've done it in the past. Just after the Soviet Union collapsed, President Herbert Walker Bush put us on a spending path for the Defense Department that was less money in the absence of a superpower threat. Today, we have the same thing. We have the absence of a superpower threat, but we're spending far, far more than we ever have since the end of World War II. We need to reconcile the size of the defense budget to the size of the threat.
And so your first step is there needs to be a spending and strategic restraint. What does that mean?
What that means is no more increases for the defense budget. What it also means is, in real terms, bringing the defense budget back down to the size where we can afford it and that is commensurate with the size of the international threat in the absence of a Soviet Union.
And so do you see that as, I mean, it's very difficult in this environment, and I'm thinking about the story that the Post did about the intelligence complex, and there's a defense complex that's built up around this. It becomes very difficult to do.
Right. That gets us to the second major step that we talked about in that piece. That is to understand what our defense spending is, in that remarkable series in the Post by Dana Priest, it was quite clear that nobody had a clue what the intelligence community was doing. The size of the spending for it had doubled since 9/11. It was quite...
And the remarkable thing out of there was... It was remarkable to me that people didn't even know how big how many people there were.
Correct. Yeah. Even the people with the classified information.
Mm-hmm.
Her dollar figure for the intelligence budget, $75 billion, was a surprise to me. I had thought it was in the 50s. And so it's been growing really rapidly. But the point is, we need to understand where the money is going, not just for the intelligence community. And that brings us to the first major step that, for example, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma has suggested to the President's Deficit Commission, which is that the increases in spending need to stop unless and until the Defense Department can account for all the money it spends. Right now, it cannot do that. And that is not just a green eye shade issue. What we're talking about is figuring out things like, where are the supplies on the way to Afghanistan? What units need what equipment? And things like, did we pay Lockheed for that F-35 they delivered the other day once, twice, or not at all? Right now, we depend on Lockheed to tell us.
Yeah. One of the more surreal moments is the defense secretary saying, please don't raise salaries for military personnel, and yet Congress going and doing it, essentially saying we're going to do it anyway.
Right. This is a serious problem. But I think some people misinterpreted it. Since the mid-1990s, Congress has been layering on additional personnel costs. You know, this predates the wars. Congress is pandering to constituencies. Now, since 9/11, they're saying is to support the troops. We have to support the troops, and some of the programs we have for wounded veterans are really inadequate. But the path Congress has put us on is unsustainable. And it's also a third rail in political terms. No politician will dare fiddle downwards with these programs. They all want to increase them.
Because it becomes that you're not supporting the troops if you don't want to raise the salaries.
Right, and the political opponent will savage them, and it's not going to happen. Congress is not going to fix this problem on its own. And that's why we suggest that a special presidential commission with special powers to make proposals across the board on personnel expenses, and that they should give us a path of spending for personnel that we can afford. And it would be great if we could have a mechanism where Congress were forced to do an up or down vote on that, just like they do on base closure.
Yeah, almost like a BRAC, but for pay and benefits.
Yeah, they don't have the spine to deal with these issues on the merits. And in the 80s, people came up with a clever mechanism to try to force them to face the music. That might work. The thing that people usually misinterpret, though, is that the reason to save money on personnel is to transfer the money to hardware, and that's our next point. Hardware is on just as unsustainable a path as the personnel are, and it, too, needs to be gotten under control. And that's why, again, we propose a panel, this one composed of people that don't have the vested interest of links to defense industry. The usual bromide is to ask people that had their salaries paid directly or indirectly by defense industry or the Defense Department to convene and look at these things, and all they do is pat themselves on the back, saying we're doing a great job, we need to fiddle a little tiny bit with a couple dials here, and everything will be fine.
Sort of tweak around the edges.
Yeah, that we've been there, done that,
yeah.
And it doesn't work. We need a panel of people without any vested interest at all. That will infuriate the vast majority of defense experts in Washington, D.C., because they all have a finger in the pie. It'll be somewhat difficult to find these people, but I can guarantee you they exist. There are lots of retired military officers who have not sold out to industry, and there are people working for think tanks that don't get their paycheck directly or indirectly from either the Pentagon or from industry. Those people exist. They're just not in the usual panels that do these things.
How likely is it that this kind of plan is going to be put in place? We've seen the Pentagon go and say we're going to shift $100 million. Even that is getting some degree of pushback.
The truth is, anybody paying the slightest bit of attention to our federal spending problems knows that the Pentagon's plan is a non-starter. President's Deficit Commission is looking at real proposals. They're not thinking about whether the defense budget needs to be reduced, but by how much. And the numbers they're looking at are very significant.